You are Locked On Balls, your daily podcast on the Tennessee Volunteers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Good Friday, everybody, and welcome into Locked On Balls. It's your team every day. As I do each and every Friday, I want to congratulate you guys on making it to the end of your work week. If you're listening to this early Friday morning, as I am recording it early Friday morning, I wish you luck on your final day here of the work week. Eric Kane, a radio personality here in Knoxville, Tennessee, at underscore Kaner on Twitter, at Locked On Vols. I also contribute to the VolQuest.com site, the Tennessee Rival site, covering Tennessee recruiting. Got a fun show coming up here on a Friday. Of course, Tennessee has a big-time matchup later this afternoon. It's first go-about in the SEC tournament, and we heard from Ron Slay on yesterday's podcast kind of previewing that matchup. And so I do want to acknowledge Tennessee is playing in the SEC tournament tonight or this afternoon. But I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time talking about Tennessee hoops today. I do apologize. We will spend ample time Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of next week breaking down the SEC tournament, how the Vols fared, and where the Vols are projected or where the Vols are picked to go and begin NCAA tournament play. Today's going to be heavy football here on a Friday. Going to continue on with our mini-series dissecting the defensive staff for Josh Heupel. Today, it'll be defensive line coach Rodney Gardner. And so looking forward to that here in segment number one. In segment number two, segment two and three, I broke a conversation I held with Trey Wallace of Rocky Top Insider yesterday and broke that down. We're going to play parts of those conversations in segment two and segment three, getting his takes on Tennessee football, a little bit of Tennessee basketball, his move from radio here in Knoxville to strictly digital at Rocky Top Insider. You guys know who Trey Wallace is. He breaks many, many stories on this beat, and he's broke a ton of SEC stories over the years. So that's kind of the layout for today's show. Again, at underscore Kaner, at Locked On Vols. Subscribe, rate, review, download. Don't forget to download and share this podcast with all your friends. Let's get down into it. Buckle up. It's going to be a quick one here in segment number one. Rodney Gardner, Tennessee defensive line coach. As we pointed out earlier in prior podcasts, back when this coaching staff was being assembled, Rodney Gardner is a guy that was wanting to be at Tennessee for quite some time. He wanted to be here. He's been here before. Jeremy Pruitt was, I think, positioned to bring him on. If Kevin Steele was positioned to bring him onto the staff as well during his short interim. As crazy as that sounds, Kevin Steele was in position to bring him on if he got the go-ahead. But Rodney Gardner wanted to be here at Tennessee. Rodney Gardner was here at Tennessee from 1996 to the 97 seasons, through the 97 seasons. He's coached at Auburn before that. He coached at Georgia after he left Tennessee for a long time. And then he's been at Auburn the past, we'll call it seven seasons. And so Rodney Gardner is a seasoned guy. I mean, that's his coaching record. Or that's his coaching tree. He's been at Auburn. He's been at Tennessee. He's been at Georgia. He went back to Auburn. Now he's going back to Tennessee. He is an SEC guy. He has turned out talent to the NFL draft, a couple of first-rounders, Richard Seymour, Marcus Strout, Pro Bowl starters and David Pollack, Charles Grant, Jonathan Sullivan. He's coached other draft picks like D'Angelo Tyson, Geno Atkins, Corey Irvin. The list goes on and on and on. And, of course, here recently, a couple of really good ones, including a couple of stout defensive linemen for Auburn, Derek Brown of the Panthers. And so his resume kind of speaks for itself. He was a standout defensive lineman at Auburn back in 1989, I think was his senior year. But nonetheless, Rodney Gardner comes back to Tennessee and a great recruiter, a great developer, just a football guy. And that's what Tennessee's getting in Rodney Gardner. I want to play a couple clips for you from when he met with the media on Monday afternoon. First, the question was asked, how do you go about teaching veterans a new scheme? And in doing so, how are they dealing with that and with all the transition? You know, Tennessee's defensive line group is a veteran group. Matthew Butler, Aubrey Solomon, and company, just to name a few there. So how have those guys transitioned into a new scheme, and how do you go about doing that? Here is Rodney Gardner.
You know, obviously, you know, as coaches, that's what we are. We're teachers. And I think, you know, young men, they're very adaptable. Obviously, you know, we're trying to take it at a pace and trying to help it correlate and relate to as much as possible, you know, what they knew before. And a lot of it, you know, schematically, maybe the same thing, it's just called something differently. And, you know, and obviously when we're trying to teach it, you know, I'm just trying to figure, okay, what did you guys call this last year when you did this particular movement or this particular stunt? So we can, you know, so this is same as, you know, a jab stunt, you know, same as a cowboy. You know, we may call it a ram or we may call it an egg, but it's the same as. And I think, you know, when you put it in those terms, you know, a lot of it, you know, that it hits them like, okay, I got it, you know. But, you know, they're very resilient. I think the guys have adapted to the change pretty well. You know, obviously just the different personalities. You know, that, you know, they're trying to feel their way through. And I just think they're looking to see, you know, that you're going to be consistent in what you're doing. And that's the thing that, you know, we try to bring to the table every day.
And taking that a step further, I know that spring practice hasn't started yet. It will here the week after next. And I know you haven't had a chance to really see them on the field outside of just working out. But what were your initial thoughts on Tennessee's current personnel group at the defensive line? Going back, watching the film, and talking with conversations with coaches around the country, studying up on your current roster, the guys you're inheriting right now, Rodney Gardner, what were your thoughts on the personnel at the defensive line group right now for Tennessee?
You know, obviously we watch film to see guys play and see how they strike blocks, how stout they were and different things. But, you know, you're trying not to go into it with a preconceived idea. It's like I told them the other day when we were doing one of the workouts and just told me, you know, we're going to have to move guys around, put them in different positions to see how they fit schematically so we can try to put the best combination of guys out there on the field. You know, I took them back to when I went back to the last place I was in 13, you know, I probably had like 10 different starting lineups, you know, just trying to find the right matchups and getting guys playing with the right chemistry so we could be successful, you know, defensively. So right now we're just trying to find out where guys fit the best and that they can execute and play at a championship level.
My favorite quote of the day, kind of concluding that last thought you just heard there from Rodney Gardner. Again, this is from Monday's defensive staff press conference. One of my favorite quotes of the entire day. I know we played a ton for Mike Eckler a couple days ago, but the Bible, the film, the mirror. What do those three things have in common? Give this a listen from Rodney Gardner on, again, teaching and coaching up these guys and what those three things have in common.
You know, obviously what we do in practice, you know, what they put on tape. Like I tried to tell them, there's three things that will never lie to you. You know, that's the Bible, the mirror, and film. So, you know, obviously what they're putting on film, you know, that's who they are, what they are. But we've got to find a way to help them improve where they can execute at a high level.
And then finally, Rodney Gardner answers the question, what he wants his hallmarks to be. What does a Rodney Gardner defensive lineman look like here at Tennessee when it's all said and done? Here are some traits and some attributes he's going to be teaching and instructing these guys to play with on Saturdays.
Well, obviously, you know, you want to play violent. You know, it's a violent game. You know, we want to strike. We want to create knockback. We want to perfect, you know, block destruction, you know, be able to hold the point on the different combo blocks and just be very disruptive up front. And also at the same time, being mindful of, you know, that we've got to protect that second level guys too and not just let guys climb. So when I say attack and react, we're not just going to be running upfield, but we've got to read our pressure points as we're working vertical. And we got to recognize the different blocking schemes that we're getting, and we got to be able to play those blocks.
Again, that is Tennessee defensive line coach Rodney Gardner, widely regarded as one of the best position coaches in America. He is an SEC guy through and through. He's only coached at three spots. That's Auburn, that's Georgia, and that's Tennessee. And so I think Tennessee fans were joyed to have him join the staff here for Josh Heupel. So looking forward to seeing Rodney Gardner coach in action. Hopefully we will get out there and get to check out a lot of that at spring practice the week after next when it begins. But that is a little bit on Tennessee defensive line coach Rodney Gardner. Got a whole lot left in store here for a Friday show. Going to catch up again. The rest of the show will be a conversation split in half with my good buddy Trey Wallace of Rocky Top Insider, talking Tennessee football, this coaching staff, both offensively and defensively, and his recent move to the digital platform of Rocky Top Insider. Guys, before we get to that, I got to remind you about bracket season. It's March Madness. I need you to go to BuiltBar.com. We all know our favorite treats, 100% chocolate-covered protein bars that taste like a candy bar. I mean, they're fantastic. They're good for you, good for the keto diet, for the health-conscious guy and gal. That is at Built Bar. It is the bracket challenge. We've been voting all week. Today's matchup, top left-hand side of your quadrant. It's the first matchup in the Sweetest 16 round. We have the favorite in Cookies and Cream playing host to Churro Puff. That's Churro Puff against Cookies and Cream. Go to BuiltBar.com today and vote on which bar you like the best until we ultimately crown a champion on which one is the best Built Bar of all time. That's all at BuiltBar.com. And don't forget, if you go to BuiltBar.com today, or if you see them on Twitter, at Built_bar, you can put in a promo code and LockedOn20 to get 20% off your next order. LockedOn20 to get 20% off your next order. That's all of it is at BuiltBar.com. We've got everything Tennessee football and basketball here on Locked On Vols, but for the rest of the sports world, head on over to the Locked On Today podcast. There's been a lot of player movement around the NFL this week. Who were the winners? Who were the losers? You can get more on that and more sports news that you need in less time with the Locked On Today podcast. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the radio.com app or wherever you get your podcast. I want to welcome to the show Trey Wallace of Rocky Top Insider, a guy that's been on the Tennessee beat a couple of years and has worked stories and broke stories around the SEC for countless years. Trey, how you doing today, man?
I'm doing good, Eric. Good to join you, man. And it's finally out of 2020, and now we see what 2021 brings us, right?
Yeah, here's to a better year for sure, especially for us covering Tennessee football in terms of access and whatnot. And kind of on that note, man, Josh Heupel, kind of want to get your thoughts on kind of the state of the program right now. It's Josh Heupel, a new era. He's completed his assistant coaching staff, his inaugural staff. We've heard from the defensive assistant coaches this week. Kind of what's your thought process on this staff that Josh Heupel has assembled now as Tennessee looks to spring practice here in the next week or two?
I thought it was smart in a sense of his offensive staff of, look, let's not try to teach this thing to four or five other people. Let's bring the staff that we have from UCF that I feel comfortable with. I like that. Then they bring Coach Mack in from Rice, who has Memphis, Tennessee ties. So I thought that part was smart. And then you flip it over to the defensive side of things where, you know, if folks remember, they hired Ronnie Garner kind of before they hired Coach Banks to be the defensive coordinator. But that's somebody you had to have in the building that was going to fit underneath anybody. And he's such a good recruiter. I think that the Tennessee defensive staff ended up as solid as you can get in the situation. I think Brian Jean Mary is a good linebackers coach for what Tennessee needs. I think that Willie Martinez will be able to help in the secondary, especially with Coach Banks and how they'll flip-flop in a sense of, you know, coaching DBs or coaching safeties, and they talked about that, and that's good. Coach Eckler has experience with Heupel before and has also coached with other members of this staff, so that's a positive. I just look at this thing, Eric, as they put together, first of all, guys that would want to be here, especially under the circumstances, and we can't hide from those. We know what those are. But also, I think they put together a staff that can get the most out of the players. I've said this in the last, I don't know, 6 months, that Tennessee's problem was they put a lot of recruiters at position coaches. And I get that you can do that sometimes, but at key spots, like inside linebacker, tight ends coach, I get it. Sometimes you got to be put in that spot. But Tennessee lost a good amount of production from certain areas last year because they worried about recruiting more so than they worried about on-the-field coaching. And I think when you look at this staff, you've got a mixture of that both. And I think that's going to be a positive for Tennessee because they do, Eric, have so much talent that they have to develop to be able to compete in this league.
Yeah, I would agree with you there on how Jeremy Pruitt's staff this past year might have evaluated recruiting or prioritized recruiting over the development aspect in some areas, because, I mean, Henry T is going to be a ginormous loss to this team, no doubt about it.
But
in my opinion, even Henry T, from where he was as a freshman to where he should have been as a sophomore, he didn't see much of that development there. I know tight end, you had some injuries there. I know that just overall on the roster, there wasn't a lot of talent at tight end this past year, but you didn't see any development there. And so, you know, those are just two spots that come to mind. But nonetheless, looking ahead, Trey, Tim Banks, defensive coordinator, he predominantly comes from a 4-3 scheme background-ish. I mean, Tennessee's going to be multiple. Every defense is multiple nowadays. But as far as, you know, just lining up your base defense and then, you know, multiplying off that into, you know, five defensive backs, three defensive linemen, whatever the case may be, do you see this Tennessee defense operating more out of a 4-3 or a 3-4 scheme with Tim Banks, Eckler, and John Mary?
Man, that's going to be the interesting part of this, because it really does come down to personnel. As Banks was talking about, and even Brian G. Mary was talking about, if they run the 4-3-3-4. I think Tennessee is kind of set up, in a sense, to run that 4-3. Now, look at Tennessee's defensive linemen and who they have returning, and then look at your linebacker unit. Your linebacker unit has lost Kavis Crouch, probably. We'll see if he ends up. That's kind of like an everyday soap opera. You've lost Henry Toa Toa. So what, you're going to roll with Jeremy Banks. You know, Beasley's been at that spot for a while. You've got Willis that you could potentially throw into that spot. Aaron Willis, it depends on how desperate they get at the linebacker spot, even Page. So, and then you look, you know, then you look at the outside linebacker position. Who can we get to come off the edge? You know, can Roman Harrison be that guy? Can Tyler Barron be that guy? Or Morvin Joseph? I think, and what I'm trying to get at here is that this personnel and what they're going to see in the first week or two of spring practice, I think is going to define what they're going to do on defense over the next 6 to 7 months. Because they can run that multiple D like you were talking about. But the biggest thing is do they have those certain players at certain spots that they're going to be able to rely on? Because I have to wonder now, who's going to be the, you know, Brian G. Mary talked about the middle linebacker is going to be the guy that's going to run the defense. And, you know, he might not be the captain, but he's going to be the captain of the defense. And he's going to call the plays when he's on the field. Like, when we look at Tennessee's roster right now of linebackers, who is that guy? I don't know who that guy is. Is it Jeremy Banks? I don't know.
If it is, you're not in a good spot.
Right, exactly. So this is something they have got to figure out once they get these guys in out of shells and in pads and on the field. Figure out what you have depth-wise, because there's only so much tape that you can go back and look with. The inside linebackers were terrible last year. They took a step back, and it is what it is. Henry Toa Toa, like you said, going to be a great player. But they've got so many different spots they can fill, and especially in the defensive secondary. You know, who's going to run your safety high? Who's going to be, you know, who's going to be right DB in this situation? Is Theo Jackson, you know, going to be able to run that so-called star spot or Trayvon Flowers? So I say that to say this. They've got the talent in the secondary, I think, to be developed. It's all about what can they get out of that front four in that linebacking core, Eric, that we saw last year and just didn't bring it.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. No doubt about it, there's so many question marks on that side of the football. And as these coaches have been saying the past couple of weeks, you just got to get out there and see what they have, evaluate that, see what they have, and then kind of adapt with the personnel that they have while they continue to still recruit to their scheme as well. That is part number one of my conversation held with Trey Wallace of Rocky Top Insider. Good stuff so far. We're going to talk more, a little bit more about Tennessee football on the other side, as well as about his new venture at Rocky Top Insider. But first, guys, the day is finally here. The SEC tournament has been going on now for a couple of days, but you get the top four seeds in action tonight. That means, or really today, that means Tennessee is in action later this afternoon. Tennessee, LSU, Arkansas, and Alabama, they join the party here today in the SEC tournament. And if you want the most updated odds on who's going to take the crown in Nashville at Bridgestone Arena, you need to check out betonline.ag. The new tournament odds are up. Arkansas, the leader in the clubhouse at plus 260. Alabama at plus 280. Then come in the Volunteers at plus 350. Then there's a big gap. After Tennessee, you've got Florida and LSU coming in at plus 600 before Kentucky is at plus 800. But Tennessee, plus 350. You buying that? If you are, head on over to betonline.ag. It's got you covered with all the news and notes you need, even if you're a television viewer, TV shows, award shows, reality television. BetOnline, the fastest, easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Not only is the SEC in full swing now, the ACC tournament's been going for a couple days now, Pac-12 tournament, and arguably the best conferences playing basketball this year, the Big 12 and the Big 10. And I want you to win some money at BetOnline. Use the promo code LOCKEDON when you head on over to the website or check it out on your mobile device to get 50% off and a welcoming bonus. Locked On for 50% off welcome bonus on your first deposit. That's at BetOnline. It's your online sportsbook expert. The second part of my conversation with Trey Wallace coming up in the matter of moments. But first, this year on the Locked On Podcast Network, we're going to be live on Selection Sunday, March 14th, reacting to who's in and who's out of the NCAA tournament. Big Ten Ben Stephens and Josh Neighbors host Selection Sunday live with local experts from around the Locked On College Network of podcasts. Follow at Locked On Live on YouTube, Twitter, or Facebook today and watch our live Selection Sunday special on March 14th. We'll flip over to the offensive side of the football, and I mean, this is going to be just generic football question 101, but I do want to get your opinion on it. New scheme, Josh Heupel's head coach, offensive coordinator, he's a quarterback's coach, Joey Halsey, Cody Burns, Jerry Mack, Glenn Ellerby, all those guys. I feel like this offense, as bad as it's been the past couple of seasons, you know, where it ranks in the SEC, where it ranks in terms of throwing the ball in the SEC, running the ball on average in the SEC, I feel like you can only go up, even though it'll be year one, a new scheme. I feel like this offense can only go up. So having said that, what do you expect from this offense with some more proven playmakers on that side of the football? And realistically, it's all about who adapts to this new scheme the best in spring practice and in fall camp. But kind of right now, who do you see maybe leading this offense kind of week one if you had to handicap it right now here in the middle of March?
Oh, Eric, I knew you'd do this to me. I will say this, though. I think the offense has a lot more talent than really what people are looking at. I think they're going to be good at the wide receiver position. I think they have key spots there that they can work with and guys. I think at the running back position, I think in the end, I know you lost Eric Gray and you lost Ty Chandler, but I think you're going to be fine with what you have right now. You know, who steps up? Is it Hodge? Is it Small? You know, do they somehow try to figure out Beckwith, you know, out of the backfield somehow, maybe get him into a weird slot formation tight end type spot? And then the tight end position, I think you're good. The quarterback spot is the big one here. Hendon Hooker. Is he the type of guy that can run this system? Caden Salter, can he figure out this complex system in a span of, what, 6.5, 7 months? And then where does Harrison Bailey and even Brian Maurer fit in this? A lot of people seem to forget, but Brian Maurer was recruited by this coaching staff. Maybe not all of them in particular, but by the school at UCF. So how does this part play into what Tennessee is going to do on offense? Can Harrison Bailey be the guy that understands what they're doing on offense, can get to the line of scrimmage and have the next play out in 8 seconds? That's the key thing that sticks out to me. Who's going to be able to erase everything that they've learned in the last 2 years, and then bring in this completely new complex offense where they want you to know every single check down, every single call, getting your guys to the line of scrimmage, literally having three plays done within a span of 35 to 40 seconds. And I have to look at a guy that has that experience. You know, Hendon Hooker has that experience. Can he pick up what Josh Heupel's trying to do? So if I'm trying to handicap, I think that, you know, a more athletic quarterback like Caden Salter or Hendon Hooker might have a little bit of a leg up here. But if they decide to run a system and can go with a quarterback like Bailey, who can sit in the pocket. He can scramble a little bit. Then maybe go down that line. But it's all about who picks it up. And, you know, Tennessee fans love the old, okay, who's going to be our savior at quarterback? And they always talk about it. You know, it was kind of this year with Ty Simpson. Oh, Ty Simpson's going to be our savior at quarterback in 2 years. It's like, no, you've got to start worrying about what you have right here in front of you. And I think, personally, you've got two quarterbacks on the roster that can get outside the pocket, get down the field, make things happen, like a McKenzie Milton-type quarterback that they have. And then you've got a guy like Bailey who can sit back in the pocket. And then the wild card out of all of this, Eric, is Brian Maurer. I mean, it just is. If the guy can stay upright, who knows what can happen, man.
I have been beating that Brian Maurer drum since Josh Heupel was hired here. And I'm not saying he's going to be the starter, but we always forget about Brian Maurer, and with good reason. Caden Salter's exciting. Harrison Bailey's still young. Hendon Hooker just transferred in. But Brian Maurer, they wanted him bad at UCF. And so,
yeah.
You know, time will tell if he can maybe make that a go here in round two and contribute here for Tennessee. I think we both can agree there's plenty of more questions than we have answers right now. It'll be exciting as it always is. Spring practice on the horizon, fall camp around the corner. And, of course, Tennessee will be back playing football for Josh Heupel before we know it. I know you got to go. You're a busy man, but I do want to say congratulations on your move to Rocky Top Insider. Trey, I think the world of you, but I think the world of my good friend Ben McKee. He works his tail off, does a great job. What kind of, you know, without getting too personal here, what kind of prompted that move away from radio to Rocky Top Insider? And you're off and running, been getting some great interviews so far.
I appreciate it, buddy, and that means a lot. And being around you for the last 2 years, I decided I kind of want to hang out with you a little bit more. I think that was the main reason. But you know what? I grew up in radio when I was in college and studying for, you know, getting journalism degree and communications degree. But I was in radio and I was in radio till, you know, when I moved to Nashville. And I always did both. You know, I was always that type of guy. I always wanted to get people's opinion. And then I always wanted to do that, you know, the beat reporting, like I've been doing for the last 10 to 12 years. And it finally just came an opportunity, I tell you, with Rocky Top Insider, where I could step back from the radio role and I could really just entrench myself in what I love to do, and that's covering a team. And as much as I loved taking calls for 3 hours and having great guests on and all that, I just felt like there was more for me to do, and I'm excited about it. There's a lot of big things that are being launched in the next 2 to 3 months with Rocky Top Insider, and I'm so excited to be a part of this thing. And it's been a blessing. So now I can bug people like you and call you up and get you on a 15-20 minute interview and have a good time with it, and also be able to put out some good reporting. So it's been a blessing, Eric, and I appreciate you, buddy, very much.
Awesome, man. I'd be more than happy to return the favor. That's Trey Wallace doing awesome stuff at Rocky Top Insider. Give him a follow on Twitter. Follow him if you want to stay up to date on the Tennessee beat. He's one of the best ones we have here. So, Trey, I appreciate it, man, and we'll get you back on soon.
Thank you, brother. So good to join you.
Once again, a big thank you to Trey Wallace. Follow his work. He does a fantastic job, and one of my good buddies here on the Tennessee beat. That's going to do it for a Friday show, another week's worth of shows. Guys, I appreciate you, as always, for hanging out with me, taking the time, starting your day, during your workout, whatever it may be, killing time in the car. Guys, I appreciate it. It means more to me than you'll ever know. Please share it. Please subscribe. Please rate. And please download. That'll help me out an awful, awful lot. But please share it more than anything to all your other friends who you think would enjoy this podcast, who love the University of Tennessee. A big game for Tennessee coming up here on a Friday, and Tennessee looks to try to make a run here in the SEC tournament. We'll be back on Monday to recap it all. Tennessee in the SEC tournament, that's on the docket for this weekend. Enjoy it, guys. We'll talk Monday here on Locked On Vols.